This is Wisconsin Public Radio, and specifically this is Spectrum West, where Western Wisconsin rolls around in the arts, music, and culture we find top to bottom and side to side. Good to be back. Hi, everybody. I'm Al Ross. This week you'll meet Rockin' Johnny Bergen. He plays guitar the way someone who digs the blues should, leaving the bells and whistles for somebody else. He'll be in Eau Claire's Owen Park next Tuesday night. Next weekend is a big one in Arcadia, Wisconsin. It's Ashley for the Arts 2016. We have the information you need to plan something special for yourself, for the whole household. It's funny, it's musical, it's sentimental. The Andrews Brothers is in final rehearsals at the Northern Star Theater in Rice Lake. Jim Oliver gets backstage brand information from director Amy Myers. Jim will also update our list of what's on all other stages in Western Wisconsin as well. And right here is where we nudge this edition of Spectrum West out into the spotlight. Legend has it that about this time every year, the fog and mist covering a dark, damp quagmire in the vicinity of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, lifts long enough to expose the emergence of that musical aggregation of mythical proportions, the Swampers. They arise just long enough to put on a couple shows designed to add splash to the already iconic Pure Water Days celebration in Chippewa Falls. One of the masterminds is Jerry Way. He rinsed off the mud and duckweed and visited our studio. Well, I can't imagine anyone in our audience not knowing who Jerry Way is. In fact, the slogan is now, where there's a show, there's a way. Let's refresh people's memories. Retired music teacher.
Sure.
That was a formal music teacher. Do you still teach now?
No, I'm not teaching.
Not at all? You don't teach guitar or any of that?
No, I did till about a year ago.
You don't let any dust collect on your life, that's for sure. You ever just sit on the porch and wave at people or not?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Definitely, yeah.
That's good, because I was concerned about
it. Yeah, the neighborhood can vouch for that.
Because you're always so busy. So, retired music teacher, where?
Chippewa Falls.
Elementary, junior high, high school?
I taught all of those levels
at
various points of my career, yeah. In all music. Instrumental I started with, and then vocal, and then general music. All the different kinds.
You are musical director for a lot of shows that are at the Heidi, including Gigi, which was the most recent.
Yes, we just finished that. It was very successful. Great cast.
Let's talk a little bit about what's involved in being a music director for a musical. Is it your job as music director to put the orchestra or band together, or is that put together and you step in, or how does that go?
Well, the instruments are part of it, and then the vocals, we start working with that very early and getting all the singing and the arrangements.
When you get the score for a musical, do you have any liberty with it, or do you have to do it verbatim due to the fact that it's licensed, or can you be creative with the music aspect of it?
Interpretation-wise, there's a lot of different ways you can do things.
And, oh, really?
You can affect the styles and the tempos, and there are various stylistic things that's your main influence.
And then the Swampers. First of all, I got a kick out of it, and you need to tell our audience what four-and-a-half-part harmony is.
Well, it's all part of Swampgrass music, and some of it is four-and-a-half parts by design. Some of it is four-and-a-half parts spontaneously.
Ah.
And you have to hear it. You have to
really?
Experience it to know what that is.
So there is really a half part.
Yeah, yeah.
And Swampgrass, is that a registered trademark?
No, we haven't registered it, so I expect there'll be Swampgrass bands springing up within a few years.
What's the difference between Swampgrass and Bluegrass?
Well, the Swampgrass is very indigenous to Wisconsin in particular, the northern Wisconsin swamps, and it just rises right out of the earth like swamp gas. We call it swamp grass, too.
Swamp grass, much more pleasant.
Yes, yes, absolutely. if you've ever smelled swamp gas,
well,
you understand that, yeah.
I shouldn't say definitely that it's better, but I'm sure it is. So now this is your 15th opener for Pure Water Days. Pure Water Days is a big deal in Chippewa Falls.
Oh, it is, absolutely. It's been going since, I believe, 1977, I think.
Oh, wow.
77, the first
one. So pretty soon it's 40 years.
Yeah, I have a big one there.
So it's prestigious to be one of the opener, or are you the opener of the?
No, there are other activities going on. There's a full slate of things happening, but the, okay. the Swampers at the Heide Center celebrate the Chippewa Valley in special ways with original mm-hmm. songs and stories, and it really fits the theme of Pure Water Days.
Yeah. Was that the intent 15 years ago when you first started, to be kind of historical?
It was, and it's historical, but it's also current happenings.
Oh, it is.
And the very first ones were historical, but we've also shifted over to doing about half and half past and present things in the Chippewa Valley.
Now, you have a couple of parts of numbers prepared for us?
Yeah.
Why don't we do one now, and then we'll continue talking?
Sounds good.
We'll break
and this is about Altoona. Altoona has been designated a train town USA by the Union Pacific.
Huh.
First came the railroad, then there came the town, and that's how the song starts out. In 1881, the railroad moved the depot, which was overcrowded in Eau Claire, to Altoona. They were looking for a spot where there was enough land, there mm-hmm. was water available for the steam locomotives, the Eau Claire River provided that, mm-hmm. and they built a depot. And then around that depot, the city of Altoona came up.
So. And named after a railroad town in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
I believe it is.
Kind
yes.
of. Here we go.
Goes like this. Well, first there came the railroad, and then there came the town. The Omaha line built a terminal fine, and the roots of the city went down. Altoona, you're a train town, USA. Now the railroad trains keep rolling, and the town doing fine. Gets bigger each day by the four-lane highway, all thanks to the railroad line. Altoona, you're a train town, USA. Carol and I traveled to Altoona the other weekend and took a lot of photos of the railroad and other parts of town, and it's a beautiful city.
You could waltz to that tune.
You could.
Like that,
it's
yeah.
A waltz, yeah. One, two, three.
So you took pictures, and that reminds me that part of the Swampers' popularity, you incorporate photographic backdrops into your show. How recently did you add that stuff? Was that something you did at the beginning, or just it evolved?
It's been part of every show, and we did start with historic photos from the History Center, that kind of thing, and it has evolved into using more current photos. So they're very, very beautiful photos, especially taken for the shows, and a big part of every song that we do.
And by the way, the numbers that you're hearing Jerry do today will be embellished by all the other members of the Swampers. You want to name them for us? Let's give them some credit.
Tim Danielson and his wife Kathy Danielson, Judy Brist, Rob Kukta, Amanda Tanzer, and myself.
Instrumentalists, singers, combination
in their
thereof.
Own fashion. Each is an instrumentalist, and then fortunately, each of us sings a vocal part that mm-hmm. you know divides out into those four and a half parts.
Has the lineup been the same throughout the years, or have you had additions, deletions?
Well, the six people I just named have been in all 15 shows.
They have.
We have added sometimes augmented with other performers. Some of them are young people that have gone on to move away and so on, but the core of the group has stayed the same.
It's called Tales Along the Rails. That's the name of your presentation,
Tales
your show.
Tales Along the Rails.
And it is Thursday, August 11th and Friday, August 12th, both performances at 7:30 p.m. at the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls, helping open Pure Water Days 2016, soon to celebrate its 40th year. I love the quote, "The Swampers emerge from the swamp once each year with a new presentation." Do you really only one performance a year?
Pretty much, yeah.
You don't get called for Christmas parties?
No Christmas parties. No. We have performed at some festivals and things like that, though.
Yeah, well, good. Because I don't think we can get enough of the Swampers myself. You have another number.
I do. In Colfax, there is a wonderful railroad museum. Okay. And my wife and I visited that, took photos, and a song came out of it called The Railroad Museum in Colfax. Mm-hmm. Oh, there is a town we know, a nice little place where we like to go. Take in the train museum, the old train cars. You can walk through and see them at the depot down by the old tracks. The Railroad Museum in Colfax. Climb up in the old caboose, a perch that is there for the train man's use. Feeling a good sensation will make you glad. It was your destination at the depot down by the old tracks at the Railroad Museum in Colfax. In Colfax.
Wonderful stuff. So we have already highlighted Altoona, and that is highlighting Colfax. What are some of the other song titles that we're going to hear in this show?
Well, we have a song called For Tilden that tells how Tilden got its name.
Cool.
There's one called The Old Number 21, which is about a train wreck that happened between Stanley and Cadott in 1900. Wow. And we tell the whole story of that train wreck. There's one about the little miniature trains that run in Carson Park here in Eau Claire, and we have one about Menominee. So we cover about a dozen different communities. Each has a song, and each has a story.
Trains definitely part of our...
That's what it's about.
Strong part of our history.
Connected by trains. And those old steam locomotives had to load up with water about every 7 or 8 miles. And those water stops, that's where a lot of the town started.
Wow. See, I guess I never knew that.
Yeah, that's why they're 7 or 8 miles apart, a lot of our... Our little towns are
And we
there.
Complain when we have to stop every once in a while. Those people had it tough. The Swampers, Tales Along the Rails, next Thursday and Friday, August 11th and 12th. Heidi Center, how do we get tickets, Jerry?
Well, we can get it through the website, www.cvca.net, mm-hmm. or call or phone number 715-726-9000. Adults, $11. Seniors, $10. Youth, $5.
Well worth it. You know, I'm just honored to have talked to a Swamper, you know, in his once-a-year appearance. So thanks so much for being with us on Spectrum West. Jerry Way.
Thanks for having me, Al.
Come on in, welcome back. Ain't seen you for a while. Come on in, have a seat. It's good to see you smile. Don't ever be a stranger. Keep coming back again. Come on in, welcome back. Come on.
There you go, a little Swampers tunage there for you. Sounds like a great show, as usual. Those people, a lot of fun. This is Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. Support for WPR comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, encouraging families and friends to talk about advanced care planning, information, guidance, and support resources available at mayoclinichealthsystem.org. Support also comes from Minnesota Marine Art Museum, presenting plein air work by regional painters Tom Mockistad and Don Schmidlap, inspired by the Upper Mississippi River environment. More at mmam.org. Support also comes from the National Eagle Center in Wabasha, celebrating Septoberfest this fall, presenting raptor programs, live animal shows, Native American art, and more. Details are at nationaleaglecenter.org/events. Coming up, rockin' Johnny Bergen, his story, philosophy, and music. Ashley for the Arts outdoes itself again. And like so many locations in western Wisconsin, Rice Lake is a happening place. Tuesday evening, I had the privilege of conducting the Red Cedar Symphony in a number during their annual Summer Outdoor Pops concert, thanks to everyone for their hospitality. And today, Jim Oliver highlights one of the popular theater companies in that area.
The Andrews Brothers, a musical that takes us back to the USO shows of World War II and the 1940s vintage music of the Andrews Sisters, will be presented by the Northern Star Theater in Rice Lake. The show plays August 10th through the 14th and the 17th to the 21st, with no performances on the Saturdays of the 13th and the 20th. In the studio to talk about the Andrews Brothers is Amy Myers, the director. So, Amy, let's have you just talk about the show first.
Alrighty. It's the story of three young brothers, They are actually the Andrews brothers, Max, Patrick, and Lawrence. They are stagehands with the USO. They're not in the service because they are 4F. So one of them has flat feet, one has asthma and stutters, and the other one wears glasses. That kept them out of the service. Mm-hmm. They are stagehands, and they're excited because they're going to be the backup singers for Peggy Jones, who is actually the opening act for the Andrews Sisters, until they get a cablegram telling them that the show is canceled because the Andrews Sisters are quarantined due to a chickenpox outbreak on another base. Peggy Jones, who's thinking of this as her big break, is devastated but concocts a plan because the boys know all of the lyrics, all of the dance numbers, everything. They can, in fact, portray the Andrews Sisters.
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody asked me before you came, is this a true story?
I don't know if it's a true story, but...
Well, I don't. I thought it hadn't occurred to me that it might be, but maybe I'd ask that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, I suppose it could be.
I'm sure that would have made some story somewhere, somebody's book or whatever. Anyway, some of the things that I've read about the Andrews Brothers is that its look back at the music of the 1940s make it a little too sentimental for most people, other than us oldsters who were alive during that time. Do you worry about that? And if so, how do you get around it?
I think it's a sentimental journey. I think it's a really fun show. It's very, the music is funny. The things that the actors are doing and the characters, the things that are happening. Of course, there's a love interest and those kinds of things. I think you forget about the sappy, too sentimental kind of thing because I think you get drawn into the characters and the music. Because it really is fun music.
I got the sense from reading about the play was that the first part is kind of a play and the second part is more of a musical review. Am I overstating that?
The first act of the show is them actually meeting Peggy, and they've already kind of got this plan that they're going to be her backup singers. She doesn't really know that they're actually the stagehands and they're pretending to be backup singers because they want their big break. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, hatching this plot to actually be the Andrews Sisters and Peggy convincing them to do that. The second act of the show is the show within a show. Mm-hmm. They are actually on stage doing the performance as the Andrews Sisters.
I saw a YouTube version of it. They do play it in drag, do they, with the Andrews Brothers?
They do. Our young men are learning how to. Last night was their first night in heels.
Now, I also read that the reasons they were 4F, you could sort of sense that in the show. The flat-foot guy can't dance.
Right. The flat-footed guy, he can't dance very well and steps all over feet all the time. The one who has asthma and stutters, every time a girl touches him, he has an asthma attack and starts wheezing. Mm-hmm. So, and that goes all the way back to his days of kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And then Lawrence, obviously, he wears glasses. He can't remember the lyrics very well, so she tells him that he should write them down. So he's often on stage with index cards trying to read.
I've been in plays with people like that who have lines all over the place. Yeah. Well, she is Amy Myers, who is director of the Andrews Brothers, opening next Wednesday at the Northern Star Theater in Rice Lake. Well, let's talk about some of the songs.
Sure. Well, of course, I don't think you can have any Andrews Sisters related show without having Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Mm-hmm. So we have that one. There's a great dance number in Slow Boat to China. Some less familiar ones, maybe Quanta Lagusta, which is a really fun number. The guys do a great, it's kind of a montage or a medley of Hawaiian numbers. Mm. Made famous by the Andrews Sisters. So that's a really fun number. Accentuate the Positive. What are some other numbers in there? Six Jerks in a Jeep. Three Little Sisters. Shoo Shoo Baby.
That's a really classy song back there.
We're learning that the lyrics of today are not always so much different than the lyrics of the 40s.
Let's talk about the cast members. Who are they? Is this a relatively small cast for this?
It is. It's a very small cast. Four cast members. Peggy Jones, our pinup girl, is played by Akira Steger. She just graduated from Rice Lake High School. Beautifully talented girl. Mm-hmm. And then our four young men, Lawrence Andrews is played by Gary Hack. Again, a recent graduate. He does a phenomenal job. He's our taskmaster. He knows everybody's lines. He knows what he's doing. He keeps us all on task because we can tend to get a little off topic. Matt Burley plays Patrick, the love interest. And he does a great job. He's a talented dancer, even though he's not been a dancer before. And then we have Max, who is played by Michael Burley, who is actually the oldest brother, but he is actually our youngest cast member.
So then we get to the staging, the choreographer, the whole technical crew. The one thing that I've sort of enjoyed about going to the Northern Star, you never know exactly how it's going to be set when you walk in the door, because the facility is such that you can do it in the round, or you can do it proscenium, or you can do it thrust. So how is this one staged?
That is one of the things I like most about Northern Star, is that we have that flexibility. It's a lot of fun. This time we have it set up. It's a raised proscenium. So the stage is raised, and then we have it more like a nightclub kind of lounge feel. So people are sitting at chairs and tables.
Oh, okay.
You know, I kind of like that. It's fun. It gives it just a different perspective. And so the kids are excited.
Good. Do you have an orchestra, or do you have?
We do. We have a pit.
Okay.
And our pit director is Adam Beaver, and he's fantastic. He is the band director at the middle school, but he's so musically talented, and we're so excited to have him as our pit director. Then we also have a super talented choreographer, Kayla Young. There are 26 dance numbers in the show at all different levels of choreography, some just blocking choreography, basically, and others like Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy and this Hawaiian number, and those more technically challenging.
Now, I get the sense from, you know, just the whole premise of three guys showing up and, you know, doing the Andrews Sisters thing. Are they choreographed so they kind of look a little awkward, or can you get the choreographer to come down to that level?
Good question. We've done a little bit of both. When they first come out as the actual Andrews Sisters, you know, it's supposed to be their first time in heels. So they look a lot more awkward, and they do a great job of that, of looking awkward. But then as they go along, they get more confident with themselves. And in fact, at one point, Lawrence takes his index cards that he so depends on and just throws caution to the wind and throws them in the air, and he just lets loose and goes to town. So that's kind of fun to watch. And
well, that sounds pretty exciting. The play is The Andrews Brothers. It opens August 10th at the Northern Star Theater in Rice Lake. For ticket information, you can use your favorite internet search engine to find the Northern Star Theater. And we've been talking to the director, Amy Myers. Amy, thanks so much for driving down here and talking to us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
And I urge you to Google The Andrews Brothers, and a hilarious six-minute YouTube video pops up. I think it'll cause you to arrange a visit to Rice Lake for a very enjoyable experience. Still to come, the music of a rockin' Johnny Bergen on Spectrum West. But first, in just seven short years, it's become one of the premier Wisconsin festivals because of its impressive mix of the artistic, entertainment, and generosity. Ashley for the Arts, number 8, begins August 11th, and for 3 days puts Memorial Park in Arcadia, Wisconsin, on the map of places to be. Again, this year, the festival has coaxed some huge national and popular state and regional talent to visit its stages, of which there are at least three. But no need for me to speculate about any of it. Event director Cole Bowick shared some phone time with me recently. Well, the slogan for Ashley for the Arts is showcasing the arts, supporting humanity.
We'll preview some of the arts momentarily. Talk about the humanity aspect of your event. I understand that there are a bunch of fine organizations that benefit from this wonderful event.
Yeah, last year we supported over 20 charities, and we raised over $300,000 for those charities. This year we're going to be supporting over 25 charities, and this starts off on Thursday, August 11th. And that's with our Pursuit of a Cure. It's a 5K run-walk. We also have that Miracle Mile walk that you can attend. And that's to raise money for four cancer organizations, one of them being the American Cancer Society. And when we get into Friday and Saturday, we're helping out more charities that we've partnered with since we started in 2009 as Ashley for the Arts. We support a lot of local school districts as well. You'll see Saturday, there's a lot of different school districts, bands or choirs are performing. So that's part of our initiatives as well.
Mm-hmm. And you have a corporate foundation or charity called Ashley's Angels. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Ashley's Angels, well, that was conceptualized by one of our Ashley truck drivers down in Mississippi. You know, he saw that there are some children in his area that didn't have the proper holiday that he would hope for a child to have, clothing, food, and even toys during the holiday season and Christmas season. So he kind of started that, and we've built it as a organization for Ashley's Angels. Now we use it in all areas of where Ashley has our facilities. We raise funds for local children in need to provide food, to have that Christmas meal, so to speak, with clothing and some toys as well so they can enjoy their holiday experience.
Yeah, Ashley for the Arts 2016 is a three-day event. You have already alluded to the first day, which is Thursday, and that's a lot of fundraising and good stuff to do. Pursuit of a Cure, it's called.
Yes.
The interesting thing, the phenomenal thing, $10 for 3 days is almost unheard of.
Yeah, it's only $10. You know, we want to provide affordable access to the arts for our local communities and for the greater community. Not a lot of people can afford to go to these big-name artists. So we want to make sure that they could and bring their whole family, enjoy the day, and everything that they spend at the event with that $10 wristband and for food or beverages or anything like that, that all goes towards the charity aspect.
The way it's told is entertainment, art, exercise, and play. That's quite a nice combination.
Yes.
On your website, there's a participate pull-down window, plus entertainment, event schedule, lodging, and a photo gallery. So asking people or suggesting that they go to your website is pretty smart, because within the span of our interview, we're not going to get all the information out, but your website does a good job of that.
Right. Yep. They'll talk about our headliners of Kelly Pickler, Chicago Low Cash, Friday, August 12th, and High Valley, Craig Morgan, American Authors and Ex-Ambassadors on Saturday, August 13th. And they'll also talk about all the other bands that we have and a little bit more detail about the arts and crafts that we have. There's so many different local and greater community area artists, and you can actually purchase that art there. Some of them have some interactive artist booths as well, so it's really neat to kind of go and see and to participate, and if you like something, you can take it home with you.
Yep. On the telephone with Cole Bowick, he is event director for Ashley for the Arts, which is coming August 11th, 12th, and 13th at Memorial Park in Arcadia. Let's dissect those headliners a little bit. Now, you have a pavilion, you have an amphitheater, you have a main stage. That's where a lot of the entertainment goes. Main stage, Friday, 6 o'clock, Kelly Pickler. She's kind of a darling of, American Idol?
Correct, yep, country artist.
She's done well.
She has.
And then Chicago, I mean, what an iconic rock band. They're at 8 o'clock Friday night, and these are both main stage acts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then after Chicago at 9:45, Low Cash is going to be performing in our amphitheater stage where Ashley for the Arts originally started.
Yeah, these main stage events are kind of wowing people. I mean, Chicago is impressive. A couple of years ago, you had the Beach Boys. Who'd you have last year?
We had Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, and we also had Ray.
That's crazy stuff to have those people in Arcadia.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And then on Saturday, you know, we have High Valley at 4 p.m. on the main stage, and then Craig Morgan on the main stage at 6 p.m. American Authors at 8 p.m. They're a headlining act on the main stage. And then back to the amphitheater stage at 10 p.m. That's following the fireworks show that we have is Ex-Ambassadors.
And don't forget, you have the Big River Radio Wave at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, and that's in the pavilion. I'm a big fan of that. Anyway, we've been doing that at the Ashley for the Arts for about 7 years now, I think, right from the beginning. It's been fun. We started out the first year in the amphitheater, but that was a little too big for us. We were too awestruck when we stood on that stage.
Well, we're always glad to have them perform at Ashley for the Arts.
It is a lot of fun, and it's become part of the shtick that the Big River Radio Wave does, and then of partaking of all the wonderful stuff you have, which is what we should touch on now, and that is all the amenities. Let me just mention also on Saturday there are bike races, and you can pick from any number of distances.
Yep, and you can register for that online at www.ashleyfortheArts.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's pre-registration for that, just like our Pursuit of a Cure. And for any kids that want to participate in the You Crazy Monkey, which is a children's obstacle course, they can also do that online, and they'll talk about all the details and the timing and pricing for that.
Before and after one does any or all of these wonderful activities, there is good stuff to eat.
There is, yes. We have a lot of food vendors from all over, not just local to the area. I believe we have even one usually based in Texas, but they come up. They love our events. You know, it's a charity event. And we've just been really ramping that up. And we have North America's largest chicken pit as well. So we're going to be cooking some chicken near our pavilion stage. Mm-hmm. So anybody that wants to come and eat, they should have a wide variety of choices.
No kidding. And as if all of this wasn't enough, you also have invited any number of other groups. You have high school bands, you have choirs, you have hands-on art. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's something going on at Ashley for the Arts.
Yes, you know, we even have some different acts that are going around. It's almost like circus acts. One is we have a Wheel of Death. We have people that will be doing fire ploy or living statues.
Mm-hmm.
We have a scavenger hunt as well. We have like this Wild West theme going on. Anywhere that you're walking, whether it's from stage to stage or art booth to eat, you know, you'll be seeing something going on that might catch your eye and you might just want to partake in.
Yeah. A lot of companies have a philanthropic side to them, but Ashley and the Ashley commitment seems to be not just a bit more, but a lot more. The Wanick family really believes in the old giving back principle, don't they?
Yes. It's a great company to work for. I'm very proud to say that I work at Ashley Furniture.
So now, you know, you have this warm, fuzzy side of Ashley for the Arts. Is there a warm, fuzzy side to being an Ashley employee? Do they make sure that you understand and appreciate what it is they're trying to do?
We always talk about, we kind of have some weekly meetings that will be sent out as to, you know, what we're supporting. And you really see it with a lot of the employees. It takes over 2,000 volunteers to put Ashley for the Arts together. So these are not only just employees, but they're also people in the community that love and support this event. They want to participate in this and volunteer their time to make sure that this event goes off without a hitch.
American Cancer Society, Arcadia Lions Club, Ashley's Angels, communities off and funning, art, music, athletics at area schools, all beneficiaries of Ashley and Ashley for the Arts. Cole Bowick, thanks for being with us here on Spectrum West, and have a great event this year.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
AshleyfortheArts.com. That's all you need to get all you need to know. A big deal in a small town, Arcadia, Wisconsin. Yet another beautiful place that Spectrum West and Wisconsin Public Radio call home. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Simply Done in Downsville, home of Dunn County Pottery, featuring wood-fired pottery influenced by nature, including tableware, vases, and cookingware. More at simply-dunn.com. Support also comes from Marquardt Toyota, offering the all-wheel drive RAV4, a crossover committed to reliability. Marquardt Toyota is located off Highway 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, or at marquardttoyota.com. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. Good to be with you. He's magnified our view of one upcoming production already. Here again is Jim Oliver with more of what's on stage in Western Wisconsin.
Thanks, Al. The Eau Claire Children's Theater will stage Disney's My Son Pinocchio Saturday at the Oxford Theater. The drama Wait Until Dark will play through August 13th at the Red Barn Theater in Rice Lake. Steel Magnolias will play Sunday and next Thursday at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. The play will continue in repertory in the Franklin Square Black Box Theater through August 20th. And Clue the Musical plays Saturday, staged by the Festival Theater. Performances will be given at the Taylor Swalls Memorial Community Center. The show continues in repertory through August 14th. Northern Star Theater Rice Lake will present the musical The Andrews Brothers, opening next Wednesday and running through August 21st. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you all for listening to Spectrum West.
Cold chill, run over me. When I see my baby walking, and I hear my baby talking, when I see my baby walk, and I hear my baby talking, cold chill, run over me. When she called me on the phone,
Tuesday Night Blues in Eau Claire's Owen Park, a production of the Chippewa Valley Blues Society, gets bigger and better every year. Western Wisconsin and Eastern Minnesota produce some marvelous musicians, and they come to play, but people all over are hearing about and wanting to be part of Tuesday Night Blues. Next Tuesday, one of the blues' pure guitarists is coming up from Chicago to make your day. That's Rockin' Johnny Bergen. And he's bringing some special guests along to show you what true blues can do to your soul. I spent some phone time with Johnny earlier this week, and he began by kind of dropping a bombshell.
I'm moving to the Bay Area September 8th.
You are?
Yeah, after living in Chicago since 1988.
Wow. Yeah, the Bay Area. There's some good music action there.
There really is. I did my last CD there, and for the last 3 years, I've been going there and touring, and every time I've gone there, it's gotten better and better. It's grown and gotten better and better. This is a good time to go, you know? I'm not locked down here, so I'm just going to go. I'm pretty excited.
I can't think of a better time to go than when fall is approaching and winter is approaching, the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done my time, you know?
Yeah, well, we all have.
I've done it. Yeah. I've been touring so much in the Midwest ever since I came back to music, and my goal is to just really hit the whole coast all up and down and just do the same thing there that I've done here and just build up two locations.
That's going to feel weird, though, to come back and play in Chicago. Now you're coming in as a guest artist.
Yeah, it's going to be quite an adventure.
Well, that's what life's all about, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's time for big changes.
In life, most of those big things are you know it when you see it. You know?
Well said.
I saw an interview with you and a lady in a car in California.
Right, Gaston in the Blues.
That was kind of a novel.
Yeah,
way of...
I think she kind of spearheaded this thing, and it really took off, and it all sort of happened by accident. Mm-hmm. But I think it's pretty smart to do an interview in the car because most people listen to CDs in the car. So she has a very end-user orientation. She just has a YouTube channel called Baskin in the Blues, and her whole thing is either reviewing blues CDs or interviewing blues artists in the car. She's never done anything outside of her car. And it just kind of took off. I mean, her stuff gets a lot of hits, and she's quite a personality.
Person's a captive audience in a car.
Yeah.
You have to, and you got to trust the driving.
Yeah. Anyway, things are different out there. People have kind of a different approach, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of spontaneous and informal. I don't think she was ever planning on being a big blues journalist, but she got a big response for it, so...
I will encourage our listeners to visit online and try to find the interview with Rockin' Johnny and the lady in the car. Should be easy enough to...
Yeah, they're basking in the blues, and she's got lots of good live video of lots of good blues artists there.
Well, now, since I'm a guy who likes to play the guitar, and I've done it for many years and have fond memories of my first exposure to the guitar, et cetera, I like to ask those who make a living at it to tell us... their recollections of their first guitar, possibly some lessons they took, mentors they had way back, those kinds of things. So your first guitar, do you remember it?
Yeah, but it was my dad's guitar. My dad taught me how to play it. My dad was in the theater, and he was doing summer stock theater, and, you know, they have actors and apprentices. And so I was an apprentice, spend the summer with my dad, and mm-hmm. the apprentices decided to put on their own play. I had to play guitar for the role I had in the play. It was Vern in Bus Stop, in case you remember the movie. So I had to play like a cowboy song, you know, like Old Paint or something. It was like, I Ride Old Paint. That was it. Anyway, my dad taught me how to play, and then I really wanted to play. And he had a Stella. It's hanging on my wall now. My dad's no longer with us, but it was one of those guitars that's just, you know, the strings are like a mile away from the neck, you know, and, yeah. you know, it's practically unplayable. anyway, that was my first guitar, and that's how I got started. And then I just kept on going, and I tried to learn a song every day, and then I started taking lessons. And my mother got me an electric guitar, which was a Rickenbacker.
Oh, yeah.
And that got a lot of attention because really there's no blues guys that play Rickenbackers whatsoever. It's a very unusual guitar. It was like an early 60s Rickenbacker 425,
mm-hmm.
and it just had this piercing twang to it. And I just kept on sticking with it because, like, I thought my mom bought me this beautiful electric guitar. Like, I would hate to have it sit there collecting dust, you know?
Sure.
You know, there was, like, some pressure with that. Anyway, my mother had said that I always had all this nervous energy, you know, I was constantly fidgeting around, but once I started playing guitar, then it all went away, you know?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I guess it was something I was able to concentrate on. So I suppose there must have been something wrong with me that playing guitar kind of medicated or cured, you know?
Sure. Well, you know, a lot of the things I wanted to talk about actually have a different perspective now that you've announced that you're moving from Chicago out to the Bay Area. You initially traveled to Chicago from South Carolina, so now once you get to the Bay Area, you will have crossed to the middle of the country. You went from the east to the middle, and now you're going way out to the west. So your field of study at the University of Chicago, which was your reason for going to the Windy City, was what? What did you study there?
English.
Good for you.
I was interested in being a writer, interested in journalism, but, you know, I got on the college radio station and met a guy who was playing with a West Side blues singer named Tail Dragger. So he took me out to the West Side, and I had been taking guitar lessons and trying to practice guitar and all this and thought I was pretty good, and then I sat in there on the West Side, and of course it was a complete disaster, and I realized I had to throw everything away and start all over and learn how to play blues, and I just got sucked up in that world, and I was very starstruck, and
mm-hmm.
that's what got me going, and it's a miracle I finished college, but I stuck it out.
Good for you.
Stuck it out.
And you're still a pretty good writer, I'm sure.
I guess so. You know, it comes in handy because I've written my own press releases. You can write your own press releases. You're just not really supposed to believe them, you know. It's good to be an effective communicator because you can be the greatest artist there is, but it's in a marketplace, and it's about getting your music out there, which involves selling and communicating.
Yep.
And these are all skills that, because it's not a talent contest. It's kind of a sales contest. You know, I want to survive. I want to continue working. I do 250, 300 gigs a year, and, you know, that involves talking to people.
We're on the telephone with Rockin' Johnny Bergen. Blues guitarist extraordinaire, has for the last umpteen years called Chicago home. Is there a better place to become a Rockin' Johnny Bergen blues player? No, there isn't. But now he's moving out to California. And he's coming to Tuesday Night Blues in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And that is next Tuesday, the 9th. What are the folks who jam Owen Park in Eau Claire going to see and hear next Tuesday? The Rockin' Johnny Band?
I'm coming by myself, and I'm playing with two guys from Minneapolis. Bill Black, the bass player, and a wonderful musician named Jeremy Johnson, who's a guitarist and a drummer. And he's just as good a drummer as he is a guitar player. Everybody in the Twin Cities knows him. He's kind of like their own personal blues hero. You know, he has a really good recording studio there. He's recorded R.J. Mitchell, who's one of the better artists in the field, great harp player. So I'm going to play with them, and there's also a harp player named Paul Berry who's going to join me for a few songs. And we're just going to play the blues. Every show's a little different. I have to look out at the crowd and then decide what to do. All the people that I saw on the South Side and on the West Side in the black clubs in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
I never saw one of them with a set list, you know?
Really?
Really, yeah. They don't have a set list. They look out and just then at the people and they decide, like, should I do a slow song or a fast song? And, you know, what kind of song should I do? There's a million great songs, but the whole key is finding songs that are great for you.
Love me the way I wanna be loved.
You know, I wanted to talk just briefly about writing the blues. If you think about it, it's probably impossible to come up with a blues lick or 12-bar riff that hasn't been done before musically, so my guess would be that it's the lyrics that carry the load.
Well, you know, blues is kind of a genre music. And if you go and see a polka band, I mean, are people really demanding that they wrote new polkas, you know? They want the payoff that makes them feel good. You know, I hope I'm answering your question. Or
no, I like that.
Your question. And so I'm just trying to give people the payoff, the exciting moments that satisfy the people that really love the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can do that with a song that I wrote, great. And if it's with a song that somebody else wrote, that's fine too. I wrote a song called It's Expensive to Be Broke for my last Delmark CD. That's a pretty good one. You can tell if it's a good song if other people do your song. And occasionally, I know some people who have done some of my songs, but I don't know. You're right. Originality is not really, it is hard to find your own voice, and it takes a lot of learning and sort of first speaking in other people's voice to find your own voice.
Okay.
And every artist does this. Every artist has done this. Nobody has ever invented their own style from whole cloth on day one. Originality is kind of a touchy issue because you need people to get those same satisfactions that they're looking for, but you just have to do it your way. So it just takes a lot of experience. And I hope I haven't just talked myself completely into a knot.
No, I think that all makes sense. People who come to hear the blues don't want to necessarily hear someone who thinks they are reinventing the blues.
Right. And some people who reinvent the blues, is it really moving the blues forward to play just like Jimi Hendrix? I mean, that's kind of moving it from one point in the past to another point in the past. And replacing it with something else that has also been done, like, extensively.
Yeah.
You know, it's putting the blues with, like, world music and putting an electric violin on it, like, you know, some bands I could name. To me, that's not really satisfying as somebody who loves the blues, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to make the people happy. And that kind of comes ahead of reinventing the blues or innovating the blues.
Yeah.
But eventually, you really kind of are your own person no matter what. I mean, everyone has kind of, like, their own fingerprint on the guitar. And, you know, listening to that and feeling that and sort of following that can maybe take you to a place where you have your own style without even really trying.
I've always thought the blues never really happens unless the people listening and the people playing are feeling it. I mean, blues is a feeling.
It is. It's a feeling. It's a shared feeling with people. It happens between people. That was what was so great, you know, playing with Tail Dragger and, you know, on the West Side is that, that's how I really saw it. You know, it was kind of the blues happening between the audience and the performer. And just creating that is kind of, it's just very, very satisfying when you can do that. And that's my goal, you know. And so I'm just happy to play places that don't have a Blackhawks game going on, you know.
Yeah.
You see this everywhere. You know, that's one thing that's nice about playing in Europe. You know, they'll create a space where just the music happens and the people listen to it. What more could you want as an artist? They sit down and listen to you and give you a chance. That's what I'm into.
thanks so much for putting us on this road trip. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to feeling it with you, having you look out at us and figure out what it is you're going to play.
Oh, man. You know? Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be on your show, and, you know, I appreciate that you've highlighted this concert. And, you know, even though I am going to California, I will be back in the Midwest often, and I love the blues fans in Wisconsin. They really come out, and they've been following the blues a long time, and it's great.
The Chippewa Valley Blues Society are some hardcore musicians and fans. You'll discover that, and I'm just so much praying that it doesn't rain. Owen Park gets pretty full. I'll be going to church to see that it doesn't rain.
All right.
Before you come here, man.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Johnny, for being with us on Spectrum West. Safe travels.
Thanks to you very much. I appreciate your time, Al.
Rockin' Johnny Bergen, Tuesday, August 9th, Owen Park, Eau Claire. Cross those fingers for great weather so we can pack the park. Online at rockinjohnnyband.com. Thanks to the Chippewa Valley Blues Society for making it all happen. Hey, thanks, Emily, Debbie, and Dean, the promotional backstopping machine, and thanks to you for supporting the arts and Wisconsin Public Radio. Spectrum Memo next up at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. Tonight, Thursday, Patty and the Buttons, a great gypsy jazz quartet, 7:30 p.m. Next weekend, Friday through Sunday, it's a Broadway cavalcade. MabelTainter.org is the website. Northern Lakes Center for the Arts in Amory presents Lincoln's Legacy in Humor, as performed by Dr. Larry Smetak, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. I hope I didn't butcher your name there, Doc. 113 Elm Street in Amory is where the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts is. River Falls presents Music in the Park Friday and Saturday evenings through August, 7 to 9 p.m. in Veterans Park downtown. Friday, longtime Minneapolis blues man Lonnie Knight comes around. Next week, the one and only Phil Cook will be with us, and more. Always more on Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. Thanks. See ya.